Good day. Welcome to the Contracts for Biz podcast channel. Today we'll be unpacking.
The offer to purchase is one of the most important agreements. It is a unique agreement with significant repercussions. It is extremely important that the purchaser and seller both understand what they are signing. I have with me today Nicolene Schumann-Lo to walk us through these agreements. Nicolene, what is contained in the offer to purchase?
Well, first and foremost, it deals, like any other type of sale agreement, with what is being offered to purchase. In other words, what is the item that you want to purchase? What will the price be? How will you pay for it? Which guarantees and conditions and terms are all attached to the transaction? So the offer to purchase is an offer, and I suppose it's more of a legal technical term. It's an offer when the purchaser says in writing, by completing this document to a seller, I'm interested in buying your fixed property situated at this address with this IRF number at this price, and I'll pay for it in this way, and I want these following terms and conditions attached to it. The minute the seller accepts this offer and co-signs it, it actually becomes a deed of sale and synonymous to any other type of sale agreement, as I've said, with one important difference. It's actually regulated by law. The Alienation of Land Act prescribes certain things that have to be in these agreements and certain unique provisions regarding them.
Breach or cancellation of this agreement has serious repercussions, as I said. Can you talk about what these consequences and repercussions are?
Well, these are very unique agreements, right? So we always advise purchasers and sellers of fixed property not to make offers lightly, and similarly not to accept them lightly. In other words, these are not agreements that you can make or break easily. In fact, if you've made an offer, and let's say it's contingent thereon that you'll get bond finance perhaps, or you'll sell your existing property in order to fund this new one that you intend to purchase, and those conditions are not fulfilled, in other words, you do not get that bond as you thought you would, or you do not sell your house in the time frame that you thought you would, then the agreement is suspended. In other words, until the conditions that I've just mentioned are fulfilled, and if they cannot be fulfilled, the agreement remains suspended and never comes to life, so to speak. So in that case, there won't be any repercussions because there isn't actually an agreement until such time as those suspensive conditions have been met. Now, suspensive conditions include a range of things, including, as I've said, the obtaining of a bond, perhaps selling your existing property, or it could be some other condition to get permission from someone, or to access some form of investment, etc. So they can take many forms, but the most usual ones are obtaining bond finance or selling your existing property. The converse, though, is if your suspensive condition has been fulfilled, the agreement has been accepted, obviously, by the seller, and it comes to life. And at some point, for whatever reason, as either the purchaser or the seller, you decide, actually, I don't want to buy, or I don't want to sell anymore, then that could have serious repercussions, depending on what stage of the process you are in. So you really need to look at the risk at that point and to get some advice. In some instances, you can actually be foregoing your deposit that you've paid as a purchaser, or the purchaser, if the seller cancels, could actually have a claim against the seller, and it could be quite extensive, actually.
And speaking of cancellation, at what point can one cancel the agreement, and what would the consequences be?
Well, if you look at the Alienation of Land Act, certain smaller sales, in other words, below a certain threshold, and you'll see that in a really, well, in a good offer to purchase, you'll see a clause dealing with cooling off, that it's usually called, or with cancellation. And essentially, it gives the buyer a 5-day period to change their mind. And if you cancel at that point, there isn't any repercussions. Similarly, as I say, if the suspensive conditions haven't been fulfilled, then there is no agreement, then technically it's not a cancellation. But if something were to go wrong in that phase, there would also not be any repercussions. But if it becomes effective, in other words, your conditions are fulfilled, your seller has accepted, and at that point you as the purchaser possibly cancel fairly soon, then you could be looking at foregoing your deposit or a portion thereof. Or if it's deeper into the process as the purchaser, you could be looking at paying for the conveyancing costs up to a certain proportion. Or you could be looking at a damages claim over and above that from the seller. On the other side, if the seller cancels, then of course the same would apply. But of course it's more difficult for a purchaser to pursue a seller, because a purchaser will be paying a deposit and will be paying the conveyancer a deposit for the transfer costs. And if something were to go wrong, they would just hold on to this and pay that over to the seller. And if there's a dispute, it may actually end up in court. If, on the other hand, the seller breaches, then the purchaser is in a much less favorable position, because you don't have a deposit on hand that you could keep in order to cover all the costs that you've incurred. So you'll actually be in the position to pursue the seller, and it may be time consuming and it may be very costly. So again, it's very important to get some sound legal advice if that is to happen in your transaction.
What compliance certificates must be obtained by parties in an offer to purchase?
Well, the compliance certificates, I think, are sometimes overlooked in a sense, because they are seen to be something the agent mostly deals with. In South Africa, every jurisdiction has their own requirements, but from a national perspective, you have to get an electrical compliance certificate to prove that all the electrical connections in the property is safe and is lawfully installed. Then you have a gas certificate in the case of any gas equipment or appliances being installed in the property, again to ensure that it's safely installed and compliant from a safety perspective. Then if you have an electric fence, that's a fairly new requirement, then you also have to get a compliance certificate for that. And if you have wood, or if you are in certain areas, particularly closer to the coast, then we've got a beetle certificate, which is basically dealing with borer beetles to make sure, if there are any, that the necessary pesticides have been applied to get rid of them, or to certify that there are none. In the Cape area though, Western Cape specifically, we also have an additional requirement of a water certificate, which is actually a plumbing certificate, to ensure that the plumbing has all been connected lawfully. So those certificates are crucially important in terms of a buyer knowing what they are buying from a safety perspective and from a defect perspective. Of course, if we talk about defects, we're diverging a little bit here, but defects need also be disclosed, but honestly, between buyer and seller. So the seller shouldn't withhold any information in regards to any perhaps damp issues or damages to the property, etc. They should disclose them in full during the negotiation processes. But the compliance certificates, yes, it's something usually the agent arranges, if there is an agent involved. Alternatively, the seller arranges them. It's important to work with compliant, properly registered contractors. And it's also important that the conveyancer has these before the transfer takes place. It's actually a requirement that the conveyancer ensures that these are in place. It's very, very important.
Thank you for joining us today. For any further information about this legal document or product that we discussed today, please go to contractsforbiz.co.za. Or if you need the services of an attorney, go to skoomanlaw.co.za. We'll gladly assist.